if we're willing and if we're interested, there's a whole lot we can learn from the lives and example of other people. The scriptures put before us, say, some of the famous people, like Abraham. Abraham was a great father in faith. So they put him before us today as an example, someone that we can look up to, someone who lived a life, of course, ancient times, many years before us, but nonetheless, who still had all of the trials, all the struggles, all of the other things that go along with growing and living the life God calls us to. We can learn a whole lot, say, like, frequently at funerals, people talk about, say, a parent or a grandparent and how much they really learn from them, maybe more by the example of their life than anything else. But if we're open to that, we can learn a lot. If you have a good teacher, say a teacher who really dedicates themselves to the students, who is really dedicated to helping them to learn, to open their minds to all of the millions of possibilities in this world, that teacher can be a tremendous example and a model that we can imitate and copy. And of course, Jesus himself is the prime example. Well, let's look at Abraham for just a little bit. Abraham was considered a man of great faith. He was an old man. He was a friend of God. When God would travel around, he would stop and visit with him. They would sit and talk. So they were buddies. They were close friends. And I'm sure because of that, when God said to Abraham, "I want you to move from here," Abraham said, "Okay." Because he trusted his friend. He trusted God. He knew that God wouldn't take him anywhere that was going to do harm to him or hurt him or his family or anything, but only that good could come from it. So even as an old man, he packed up everything, his family, his animals, and he moved. And he didn't know where he was going. But he trusted God that much. He believed and trusted that God would never lead him astray. When God told him, "You will be the father of a great nation," and Abraham said, "I have no children. How is that going to be possible? I'm an old man." And somehow, but at the same time, he believed that if God said it, he would make it happen somehow. Because God is trustworthy. And he trusted in him. And so, sure enough, he had a son, Isaac, when he was 100 years old. And then after he had the son, Isaac, God asked him to sacrifice Isaac. And so Abraham, again, I'm sure all of these thoughts must have gone through his head. But what about all these promises that you made to me? How is this going to happen? If you take my only son, how can that possibly happen? He never questioned God. He knew that somehow God would provide. He had conviction that what God said would happen. And so he was willing to sacrifice his son, but remember, God stayed his hand. He stopped him and said, "No, Abraham, you've done all that I could ever ask anybody to do." And so Isaac lived. But you, we have examples, say, like people that we probably have known in our own lives. And I'm sure if you sat down seriously and thought about it, say people who maybe were an influence in your life, somebody who touched your life in a way that nobody else really did. Maybe a parent who maybe didn't say a whole lot, but by their example, they showed you what faithfulness meant to them. It's like a lot of parents, a lot of grandparents, you know, there's struggles in life. You know, they had a lot of big struggles. Trying to raise a family, sometimes not knowing where the next meal was coming from, willing to sacrifice so that their kids would have enough to eat. And how often we kind of forget about that kind of stuff. But the interesting thing is they believed that somehow God would see them through. They had that faith. They truly believed that somehow God would see them through. They had the conviction that when God said something, he would do it. So they learned to trust in God. And it's a tremendous gift to have, the ability not only to believe what God says to me, but to trust that he will never do anything to hurt me, have the conviction that he will fulfill whatever he wants to fulfill through me if I'm willing to cooperate. So in today's readings, it's just kind of a reminder to us that, you know, great things can happen through us. Remember, Christ said, I make you all kinds of promises. I chose to come into this world to become one, a creature like us, like he made us. He chose to become one of us so that he could better show us by his life and by his own example what he meant. And then he gave great promises. He said, for those who are faithful to me, who really try to live the life that I passed on to you, who are willing to teach your children, who are willing to be an example to people around the world, wherever you may be, if you're willing to be faithful to that, even in difficult times, even when everybody else in the world is laughing at you, when everybody else in the world thinks you're crazy, when everybody's ridiculing you because you're so out of touch with reality, you need to get with the modern world, and we hear all that kind of stuff, if you try to follow the principles and the values that Christ has taught. So in spite of all that, if we remain faithful, if we are convinced that Jesus will do what he said he will do, we remain faithful. And so that when this time comes, like the thief in the night, we have no worries, because we are always prepared to meet our Lord whenever he comes, whatever time it may be. You know, the apostles believed that the second coming would be shortly after Jesus' ascension into heaven. They really believed that all should happen pretty quickly. Well, obviously it didn't. 2,000 years later, we're still waiting for that second coming. But remember, our second coming, individually, may be at any time. And so what our Lord says is, I ask you to be faithful. Even when times are difficult, when times are tough, when things don't seem to go right, when everything seems to be going against you, when everybody is making fun of what you profess to believe in, remain faithful. So that when it is time, I will take you and I will give you all of the rewards that I promise. But we have to be convinced that our Lord is faithful. We have to believe that my following what he taught me, following the example, living the example, all of my life is very important. So I don't decide, well, for this section of my life, maybe this 20 years from the time I'm 20 until the time I'm 40, I decide, well, I don't really need that. Everybody else in the world seems to get along perfectly fine without prayer, without participating in church life, without attending and participating in Mass. So I'm going to just skip those 20 years of my life and just do what I want. That's not being faithful. What if the Lord chooses to come during that 20 years? Is he going to find you prepared? And how can you be prepared if you've chosen to reject what he has offered to you? So it's just kind of a call to be aware. Be aware that we need to practice our faith faithfully. We need to be convinced that what our Lord promised to us is going to happen. He gave Abraham all of these promises. You're going to be the father of a great nation. Abraham didn't live to see this great nation. He saw his son, and he trusted that what God promised to him was going to be fulfilled through his son, and it was. And so our Lord promised us that that one day, if we choose to be faithful to him, that he has rewards for us far beyond anything we can ever imagine. But he says, it requires faithfulness. You have to be willing to stick with it, even in the most difficult circumstances, even when everybody in the world thinks you're an idiot, to remain faithful to him. Like Abraham, we have to have that conviction that what God promises, he will fulfill if I cooperate with him. It's a big job we have. We're supposed to be teachers of the world. We're supposed to be light to the world. We're supposed to be life to the world. That's what he's called every one of us to be. That's our job in this world. And sometimes we need to kind of look at that and say, am I really doing anything about that? Can anybody see any light in me that would say, make our world a better place for all people? Can anybody see that sense of life in me that I'm working for what our Lord, what I really believe our Lord can accomplish through me? That's what we are supposed to be doing in this world. We have to be convinced of that. We have to firmly believe that's what our Lord called us to do. And then by doing it, we can hope to share that great reward that he has for us.